And now I want to turn to a verse in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. What a tremendous text this is, and especially for these days. But let's remember that they were written first and foremost to the Jewish people, Israel, who were in captivity. And these incidents of history are being brought into very vital focus with us today. I believe it's on Monday that there's a set part of the celebration of Israel's founding of the new nation. And this text is most apt in that setting, as we shall see later on. When it speaks about being graven on the palms of the hands, I believe it's a reference to the old custom of tattooing, which in the East was carried out far more frequently than we have ever done. But some of our young folk who go abroad have been seamen or have been in the army, have very often come back with tattooing on their forearms, and some of them, of course, go in for it in a very big way. I used to work amongst merchant seamen and used to see the results of their visits to the tattooist in this way. But here, you see, it's applied to God. I have graven thee or tattooed thee on the palms of my hands. And in the Old Testament particularly, and in our thought, we think about God as we think about men. God sees, God hears, God speaks, God moves, God has arms and his feet and hands and so on. All these are used, and they all help us to understand something more about God. It's language that is usual to us. It's pictorial, if you like. And here it says, God has graven on the palms of his hands these people. I wonder whether you ever feel like the verse 14 before this. Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Terrible thing to be lonely, isn't it? Terrible thing to feel unwanted. Terrible thing to imagine that we have been neglected and just cast on one side, especially by God. But here's an assurance. Having said these words, Zion, that is Israel, says, the Lord hath forsaken me, my Lord hath forgotten me. And God goes on and says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. First thing that God is saying to his people in this message is that there is between him and his people a permanent relationship. A permanent relationship. Tattooing can be an embarrassment to people. As I refer just now to young men going out in the forces and having all kinds of things which in later life they wish they'd never had. Perhaps it's the name of the wrong girl or something like that, you see. And in the old days it couldn't be rubbed out. It couldn't be eradicated. Once done, it was done forever. And God is saying to Israel, I have graven thee on the palms of my hand because it will never be erased. It will always be remembered. And you know, it's a good thing that God did do just that thing. Because the story about his people is just a story of like us. They wandered away from him. They disobeyed his rules. They didn't care about him. When their will was crossing his, They went their own way. They were utterly selfish, and they landed up by being judged and being brought into captivity. But they never ceased to be his people. Not once. God couldn't look upon them and bless them. God couldn't help them in a sense. But they were still his people. Do you remember the story in the New Testament, the parable of the prodigal son? He took everything that his father gave him and he went off and he had a jolly good time. And he just spent money like water, as we would say. Until the time came when he repented and came back home. But all the time that he was going away from his father and forgetting his home, all the time that he was enjoying himself, he was quite out of fellowship with his father. His back was towards his father. He didn't care about him. He didn't think about him. He had nothing to do with him. But he never ceased to be the son of his father. Now that's the difference. He wasn't in fellowship with him, but the relationship was established and it couldn't be broken. And this is what God is saying to his people. And when God opened his hands, as it were, to work in the affairs of the universe, there was the name of his people engraven upon it. Do you see, my friends, in the affairs of the world, in the affairs of the Old Testament, you've constantly got to remind yourself that so far as God is concerned, the affairs of the world in those Old Testament days pivoted round his people. And when nations changed, when politics overthrew powers, and when all kinds of things came upon the affairs of the world, God's record in his book was how did it affect his people. When God moved his hand in the affairs of nations, he saw Israel. Written there indelibly, never to be forgotten. And it's a good thing for us to remember this in these days in regard to the present state of Israel. It's not my purpose to go into a lot of prophecy tonight. But you see, Paul tells us and gives us the whole clue to this in Romans, where he says that God has not cast out Israel, he's put them on one side. He's not finished with them, because the name that was graven on the palms of his hands could never be rubbed out. The Jewish people are still the chosen people of God, out of fellowship with him. They're not in a position to be used by him. But they are his. The relationship is still there. Can a woman forget, it says here, and the answer is yes, she can. Yet will I not forget thee, behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hand. And I want us to take encouragement from this tonight. Are you a Christian? Oh, you say, I don't make much profession, but are you a Christian? Well, you may be a very weak Christian, but you may be quite sure of one thing. That being a Christian, your name is there, graven on the palms of his hands. You've backslidden. You know you're out of the will of the Lord. Well, the fellowship's broken and God doesn't hear you. But you're still his, because he's graven you on the palms of his hand. And in this age in which we live, in which Israel is set aside, this church age as we call it, just as God's affairs of the Old Testament pivoted round about Israel in the affairs of nations, so God's particular interest in the world today is centered upon his church, the body of believers. And when God's hands are working the affairs of nations today, he sees the names of the born-again Christians who form his church. A permanent relationship. My friends, if in the early days of life you came to know Christ and you were truly born again of his Holy Spirit, know surely tonight that that relationship has never been broken. You have always been his. What have we been singing about? Mr. Sutton marked on it. Love with everlasting love, and while time shall last, I am his, and he is mine. Behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. And our Lord Jesus Christ underlines this when he says, of course, that no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Second thing I want you to notice in this text, that it speaks about a responsibility that is acknowledged. Verse 15, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? It poses a question which we would perhaps imagine would be answered by saying no, that's impossible. But it is possible. While I was in Australia, I remember going to one of our mission stations there and staying with the superintendent. And the superintendent had there a little child, 2 months old, a little Aborigine child, and told me the story. He said that this child was born of Aborigine parents, pure blood, but the mother decided that she didn't want the child. She just left it under the bush and went off, just like that. It can happen. The child was brought into the mission station to be brought up and cared for, of course. It can be. And in these days, of course, we see quite often how that people don't care. Some people don't care very much about the ordinary things of life. I well remember before I was in the ministry, when I was working in London, going round the back streets of Kensington. You know how posh people speak about the West End of London. All the wonderful places that there are in the West End of London, the elite and so on. But round the back streets of some of those lovely buildings, you'll find some of the worst slums in London. It's my job to go to some of these. And there you would find people who didn't bother about a meal for the children. It's before the days of school meals. And as far as the child was concerned, they were given a penny or tuppence to go and get a penny of the chips for their dinner. And many times in the summer, of course, what the children did was to buy a Wool's ice cream, and that was their dinner. And the mother didn't care. She'd gone off to work and so on. There are some who refuse responsibility. And don't we see it nowadays? Don't we see it from time after time after time? People not caring. But now, in contrast, God says, behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. I will not forget. They may forget, but in contrast, I will never forget. God takes responsibility for these Jewish people. And you remember that this was his eternal pledge in the first covenant, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the agreement that God made with his people, the bargain he made with them, if you like. It was a covenant that was sealed with blood, which Moses enjoined upon the people. It was a covenant where God said, look, I will take responsibility for your well-being in every particular. I will feed you. I will provide for you. I will protect you from your enemies. I will surround you. I will be a guard unto you. I will guide you in every way. And this is what God did, and this is what God undertook. More than this, God said to them, and I will put my name upon you. I've chosen you out of the nations of the world to become a peculiar nation unto me. And I'm going to put my name upon you so that you can represent me in the midst of the world of heathen nations round about. This is what I'm going to do. Nothing less than putting my name upon you. So God gave them the name, and God gave them the pledge, and God took the responsibility. They may forget, but God says it's quite impossible for me to shed my responsibility. Quite impossible for me not to acknowledge this. And you see, this is what God has done for us as Christians. The counterpart of this text comes over into the New Testament. One text in the Old Testament which comes so readily to mind is, "Cast thy burden on the Lord and he shall sustain thee." But as you know, there are thousands of promises that can be applied to us from the Old Testament into the New Testament. And acknowledge responsibility. I wonder whether we have fully realized this. That's why I chose that last hymn, "Loved with Everlasting Love." Because you see, when we talk about the permanent relationship, the tattooing on the hands, the permanent relationship means that we are peculiarly his. We are related to him in a way which the unbeliever is not. People talk glibly about God as Father, but this is only in the creator sense. It can only be in the wide universal fatherhood in the sense that we're all part of the human race. But God has become peculiarly our Father in Jesus Christ. We are his. But the other side of the coin is that God takes responsibility. And so now we can claim to be peculiarly his. And we can claim him to be peculiarly ours. I am his, and he is mine. The two way about it. Spurgeon's College in London, one of our Baptist colleges, of course, of long standing, has got a motto and a badge. And the blazer pocket badge of Spurgeon's College shows a cross being held up by a hand, just a hand grasping a cross. And the motto that's written underneath means this: I hold and I am held. I hold the cross, but the cross holds me. And the more important thing is that the cross holds me. The responsibility. I am his and he is mine. And this means, you see, that the Christian knows God as nobody else does. Christian is a responsibility that God has taken upon himself. I wonder whether we, as it were tonight, are catching a vision of what it all means when God says to us, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. This established the relationship. This brought the responsibility. And my friends, have you discovered this in the Christian life? Have you discovered this, that the Christian life depends on God's faithfulness, not on your striving? I wish somebody had told me this when I was a young Christian. Because you get tied in all kinds of knots when you're a young fellow. I wasn't brought up in an evangelical church. I didn't have the advantage of sound teaching. And if only somebody had come along and said to me, look, what are you getting so depressed about? Why are you getting so cast down? Why are you struggling? Why are you striving? Why are you screwing yourself up to get victory? Let God take the responsibility. And rest on the faithfulness of God. God's graven you on the palms of his hands, and his interest is that you shall be his. Not in the sense that I must look upon my surrender to him, but in the sense that he gives me all that there is to receive in Jesus Christ. You know, we Christians in the evangelical world, I'm quite sure that we make mistakes in this thing. I'm quite sure that we put our emphasis upon our own surrender, if you like, or some people will say their dedication. And they will say, oh, you know, well, I rededicated myself, I reconsecrated myself, all kinds of words come out. And what we're really saying, if we're not very careful, is that our Christian progress is being determined by works instead of by faith. It was what I did. I dedicated myself. I consecrated myself. I gave myself. I yielded myself. What did God do? And the answer God would give us is, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. I undertook the responsibility once and for all. And all you've got to do is to avail yourself of that. Finally, I want to talk about the undying love that's mirrored through this text. An undying love. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. This is an undying love. It seems that, of course, we need to go into the context again. And amongst the people of Israel, the Jewish people, shall we call them for sake of ease, amongst the Jewish people, it was the hope of every woman that she might have a child. It was the great desire of every Jewish woman that that child should be a son. And it was the tremendously superlative, wonderful way that they longed for this, that they desired above all to be the mother of the Messiah. That son might be the Messiah. And when a woman was married, it became a matter of reproach if there was no son. A matter of reflection. People talked about her. They gossiped about her. They pointed the finger of scorn at her because she hadn't borne a son. It sometimes happened that there was a woman who had a son. It sometimes happened that that son died. So what did she do? The woman would go along and she would have the name of her son tattooed on her hand. And when she went amongst folk who were strangers and they pointed the finger and said, no son, she could only open her hand and say, I had a son. I can never forget him. I had him and that's his name. And that remains with me through life. And I shall never forget the son that I bore. And God says, behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hand. An undying love for that child in that particular woman. They may forget, but not that woman. She would never forget that there was the name of the child every day of her life as she used her hands. She would be reminded of the child she bore and lost. Every day that God moves in the affairs of the world, he's reminded of his people and of us. The story is told about a mother who also had a child. I can't vouch for the authenticity of the story, but it has a very good point. And this child began to grow and develop, and the time came when this child discovered that his mother always wore gloves. And he couldn't understand this, because other people didn't. And as his intellectual development took place, he began to query why this was. And began to ask, as a child would, questions. And mother said, one day you'll know. And time went on, and she had to say, one day I'll tell you. And eventually she judged the time had come when she could tell the story. And she told the lad how, when he was a baby, somehow there was fire in the room where the child was lying in its cot. And this mother, with the usual mother love, rushed in to beat out the flames and to rescue the child. The hands were scarred beyond recognition. And she says to the boy now, you know the story, you can see the scars. And he saw his mother's hands for the first time with the marks of the undying love upon them, where she saved his life. An undying love. And I go away somewhere else. I go to a place outside the city wall where there's a cross. And after I've been to the cross, I go down perhaps on Easter Sunday morning to the room where the disciples are. And there, gathered with them, the risen Christ appears. And what does he say after the greetings and everything else? And a week later, when Thomas was there with all his doubts, behold my hands. And when they looked on those hands, they saw the scars. They saw the nail prints. They saw the result of the redemption that he'd achieved. They saw the awful brutality of the crucifixion. They saw the evidence of his undying love for them. And when God speaks to us out of Isaiah, about, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. We bring it over into the New Testament and say yes. And God graved them into the palms of the hands of the Lord Jesus with the nails of the cross. Do you have that assurance tonight? You're quite sure that your name is graven on the palms of his hand? It's a wonderful encouragement, isn't it? It's a great encouragement to us as Christians to know that that can never be eradicated. It can never be cancelled. And every time we think about the cross, we think not only of the nails that pierced his hands, but we realize and come into the resurrection triumph, which means that he was raised for our justification. And we're his by redemption. And the text says, I have graven thee and the palms of my hands, so that a personal relationship is forged the moment we come to Christ. The responsibility is taken upon his shoulders the moment we say yes to him. And it continues right through life until the day when we shall see him as he is. We can know this. We can rejoice in this. We can go home with it ringing in our ears. God speaking to us and saying, particularly with the emphasis of the cross behind it, behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hand.